Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness towards us. Thank you that it is because of your work in each of our lives that we can have a relationship with you and that we can grow in our understanding of you and in our desire of walking with you. And so, God, as we meet tonight and as we look at another incommunicable attribute of yours, would you speak to us, remind us of who you are, how good it is that we are not like you in these attributes. And then, God, would you work in us to show us where we're not believing you, God, where we're not resting in you, and God, show us where we're rivaling you. And so, Lord, we want to know you more so that we can rest and believe you more. So meet with us tonight, and by your Spirit, would you teach us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, well, the first thing I have to tell y'all is this week we're talking about God's omnipotence and Him being all-powerful. So I just have to tell you, all week in my head, it is, our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that He cannot do. To the extent that I have woken up, like, almost every morning, and that is going on. And now, I don't know any rest of the part of the song. So that's the only part that it will just pop in my head constantly. And I'll even be in my office, and I'm humming. You know. So my goal is that you will leave this room, and you, too, will be declaring over and over that your God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. So we will do this just like we've done every week. We're going to give the definition. We're going to look at it in the Scripture. Then we're going to talk about how it's good. We're going to ask, are we believing, are we resting, or are we rivaling? So no change in our pattern. Now, if you were scared by the length of the handout, please don't. I just really wanted to make sure that I gave you something that Spurgeon wrote. And so that's why it's a long handout. So it doesn't mean it's going to be longer than normal, but I just wanted to make sure you had it. So the first thing let's talk about is just, let's just get a good definition of omnipotence. And so I put it on there for you. It comes from the Latin omnis, which means all, and then potens, which means powerful. So it literally means God is all powerful, or almighty. And so throughout the Old Testament, there are numerous times you'll see the Hebrew name El Shaddai that is mentioned constantly throughout the Old Testament, and it literally means that God is the most powerful or God is almighty. So every time you see the word almighty in the Old Testament, it's referring to God as all-powerful. And then I'll just mention, John Piper wrote this. He said, the name almighty implies that God has all the might that He needs to do anything that He wants to do. This view of God is confirmed over and over again in Scripture, and we call it the omnipotence of God. Omnipotent and almighty mean virtually the same thing. So again, when you're reading in a passage, it's talking about God Almighty, it's saying all-powerful. So just keep that in mind. So what I want you to see, just as a good working definition I put on there, is that God is all-powerful and thus has unlimited authority and influence. He has the ability to do whatever His will dictates. And so we're going to explain that a little bit more about what it doesn't mean as well. But it's important to understand, He has the ability to do whatever it is that His will dictates. So now let's look at Scripture and let's see it. So Psalm 29:4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And then Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So think about that there in Revelation. When it says He's the Alpha and the Omega, remember when we talked about God is infinite? He knows the beginning of time. He knows the end. It says, who is, who was, and who is to come. There is never a time when He's not almighty. There's never a moment in our time and space, understanding as finite beings, that God is not almighty. There is never a time in eternity when God is not almighty. And he's not growing in his power. He is completely all-powerful. And so you may think, oh, yeah, well, I know this. But sometimes we don't rest in this, because this is not how power works in our lives. You build up power. If you've had an illness, then you start your recovery through physical therapy. You start to rebuild your muscles. Maybe you've had a major hard workout. I know Jenna just did the Spartan this past weekend. And so your power head was depleted at the end, and then you have to refuel and do some things. But all that to say, that's not how God works. He's never depleted. And so it's important for us to keep this in mind. So what I've done now is I've pulled out some sets of scripture where it particularly shows his power related to certain aspects of what he has done. So the first one I want you to look at is creation. And so I've put on there for you Jeremiah 32, 16, part B through 17. And Jeremiah says, I pray to the Lord saying, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. So what did God do in relation to creation? He made it. He created it. He's the one who put it in motion. He's the one who brought it from nothing. And then, if you want to write these verses down, I didn't list them on your sheet, but Jeremiah 10:12 and Jeremiah 51:15 say the exact same thing. And here's what they say. It is He, God, who made the earth by His power and established the world by His wisdom and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. So again, it's saying the same thing. It is God by His power who has made the heavens and the earth. But then if Hebrews 1:3 says this, and here's what I want you to hear this and tell me what he does differently than just making creation by his power. Hebrews 1:3 says he's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So what does he do besides making creation? He what? He sustains it and upholds it. So his power is the initiator and creates it, but then he continues to uphold it. And now I want you to listen in Romans 1:20. It says this, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. So when you're just talking about creation, God Almighty, all-powerful, he makes it, he sustains it and upholds it, but then he declares himself through it so that we can perceive who he is through creation. So this is all because our God is all-powerful. Does that make sense? Just in creation alone. He's the maker, the sustainer, and then he declares himself through it and his power by what he has put into place. And we're going to come back at the end of the lesson and talk about this just briefly, because it's really beautiful to think about. The next thing I want you to see about God's power is in relation to how he governs the world. So look there at 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. And it says, therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over it. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. So when you think about all the countries throughout all of time, what is this telling you that God has the power to do? Everything. He has the power to make them great and to bring them down. If you just look at Israel's history and the Assyrians, do you remember in our, if you've taken any of my Old Testament classes, we always go through the three waves of the deportation. But before that, the northern kingdom is taken over by the Assyrians, this great power who God has appointed to come in and bring judgment. But then what did God do? Who did he raise up next? The Babylonians. He raised them up in power to then overtake the Assyrians. And then after the Babylonians, who did God raise up? You know it. The Persians. The Persians. And they came in and overtook the Babylonians. And so it is God who is raising the powers and bringing them down. He has the power to do that. That is our God. We may not always understand why he's doing it or what he's doing it, but can't we trust him? Because we know he's a God who knows what he's doing. But I want you to see that he's all-powerful in the ruling of the world and the nations. Another verse just to reemphasize that, 2 Chronicles 20, verses 5 through 6. And here's what it says. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said this, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hands are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. So what do we get nervous about if we were to watch the news right now? There's a lot of global stuff going on, isn't there? China, Ukraine, Russia, Iran, stuff everywhere. And so what does this tell us? God is in complete control. He's in control of our country. And there are times when we don't, you sometimes go, what in the world? God is in control. He knows exactly what he's doing and why he's allowing. And he is in complete control. That's how powerful our God is. That he knows exactly what he's doing and who he's bringing up and who he's bringing down and for what purposes. The next one I want you to see is salvation. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20 says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know, keep that in your mind, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What is the power you're seeing displayed about your God right here? What does he do? Resurrection. Our God raises people from the dead. That is what our God does. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says this, and God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Nehemiah 1:10 says, they are your servants and your people, whom you've redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. And what I want to say to you is, don't forget that your God, my God, our God, what he has done in salvation is he's exercised resurrection power. We were dead in our trespasses. Do dead people choose to be in a relationship with God? No. It's by his work that he brought them to himself. And then by raising Christ from the dead, he defeated the enemy, which is death, and therefore has also raised us from the penalty of that, and we will be with him in his presence forever. Y'all, we serve a God who resurrects the dead. So the next time you're praying and you're asking God to do something, and you're like, I just don't know if he's going to do it. You have a God who raises the dead. That is power. That is your God. There is no other name anywhere in all of eternity on earth who has the power to do that. Just our God alone. Isn't that good news? When I was at the Gospel Coalition with some different women from our church, one of the speakers was talking about David and Goliath. And she, Rebecca, who was the speaker? Was it Courtney Doctor? Okay. She was talking about David and Goliath and how David, you know, throws the stone, David falls over, then he goes and he gets Goliath's sword and he chops Goliath's head off. And he said, don't miss that. David has used the enemy's weapon to destroy him. And then she stepped back and she goes, this is a picture of our God. Jesus took the one weapon that the enemy had, which was death, and he used it on the evil one and said, I am now destroying you because I've overcome your weapon. Isn't that beautiful? So don't miss how powerful your God is in your salvation. He's a resurrecting God. We all have been in our slavery condition resurrected to life, and we all will be resurrected to live in glorified bodies for the rest of eternity. Stop and think about the magnitude of what that is. Isn't that an amazing and overwhelming thought to think about? This is your powerful God who does this. So you'll see in a few minutes we talk about how is this good news? How are we not resting in this? And so, but think about that. Let's keep going. The next one I put on there for us to consider is that there is nothing is too difficult for God. So I just want you to hear this. We know it on some level, but boy, isn't it good to see it. So in Genesis 18:14, it says this. And this is when Sarah is being told she's going to have a son. And it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. So think about this. Sarah, she's way too old to have kids. And yet, doesn't God bring a dead womb back to life? He does a little resurrection action, which is why I think Abraham later, when he's supposed to sacrifice his son, we're told in Hebrews that he believed that God was a God who resurrects. Why do you think he can believe it? He had a wife whose womb was, for all purposes, dead. And he resurrected it and brought back. And again, in Genesis, is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32, 26 through 27, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And I love this. God says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? No, there is nothing. Job 42:2. Job says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. God can do all things and his plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. Luke 1:37. This is when Gabriel comes to Mary, and the angel Gabriel says to Mary, after she's like, how will this be that I'm going to be with child? And Gabriel says, nothing will be impossible with God. And then the last one I put on there for you guys, it's on your sheet, Matthew 19:26. Jesus says to his disciples, with man this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And remember, he's talking in the context of salvation. But he's saying, what seems impossible to man is not impossible with God. And so, again, when we're talking about God being all-powerful, we've got to remind ourselves, how many of us have given up praying for a friend or a loved one or just a relative that doesn't know the Lord, and we're like, they're just too far gone in their sin. What are we declaring in that moment? Aren't we declaring, God, this is the one thing you can't do? And so I understand being frustrated or wondering why or when. But don't give up as if your God is not able. Let me take it to a different level. Let's say you struggle with a particular sin. And you are asking God to work in you and help you with your tongue or whatever your particular remaining sin is. And don't we sometimes throw our hands up and go, I'm just never going to change. Remember, we talked about this with immutability. We are changeable. But don't we think sometimes, God, you're just not powerful enough for this? We may not say it, but sometimes we believe it. I'm not a parent, but I've heard parents say this about their children. They're just never going to change. We've done X, Y, and Z in discipline or whatever it is, and we don't think that anything will ever make it better. As if God can't come in and in one moment do something. He may choose not to. He may choose to make it a lifetime. But it's not because he lacks power. And so I think we have to think about the words that we use when we're talking to ourselves to make sure we're not reinforcing wrong thinking about God. So when we want to give up, they're never going to become a believer, we need to stop ourselves and go, God, you can. What feels impossible, I believe that you can do this if this is your will. So now, work in me as I'm waiting. Help me to believe and trust. But it's not because you're not able. Do you see the difference? It's just slightly different, but we say wrong theology to ourselves a lot. And so then it makes it harder to believe. And so we have to be consciously thinking on what is true. Ligonier, they talk about this, and this is important to bring up. They say this, if you've read all these verses, and there's so many more in God's Word about His power, it can sound like God can do anything He wishes. But does that mean that God can go against His own character? The answer is no. God cannot. And aren't we glad that He cannot? God cannot be unjust. God cannot lie. He cannot act with evil intent. So He's not all powerful if by all powerful we mean that He's able to do things which go against His goodness and His nature. Do you understand that? If you read too many philosophy books, they get into these, if God is so powerful, could He create a boulder that's bigger than Himself? I mean, it gets ridiculous. But they're going down this road. Could God ever create a situation where He has to lie? And so, here's what I would tell you. God, remember when we talked about incomprehensible? There are things that we just can't understand, but what He has declared for us to know is what He wants us to know about Himself. And what He wants us to know about Himself is He's all-powerful and He will not contradict His own will and His own character. And y'all, this is good news, because don't we want that in people as well? We want principled people that they would never steal, because that would go against their character. It doesn't mean they couldn't do it, but they will not do it because it would go against their character. We don't want somebody who would cheat on their spouse. We don't see that as a limitation to their strength. We actually see that as part of their strength. So understand that God is all-powerful, but He will never contradict His nature. And this is good news. And I put on there, Precept Austin is one of those kind of catch-all websites that they pull from tons and tons of commentaries. And so it's a good resource. So I wanted you guys to see what the author there, put together. Related to this, it says, although God has all power, He cannot do that which contradicts His holy character or essence, and thus He cannot annihilate Himself because He's eternal, immutable, and all-wise. He cannot lie because He's truth. He cannot keep His word because He's faithful. God cannot be tempted by evil. And then here's the part I really want you to hear and maybe underline on your page. The omnipotence of God gives every saint a firm foundation to trust Him and have confidence in His ability to keep the precious and magnificent promises in Scripture. It is good that our God is all-powerful. It is good that He will not go against His nature and His will. Because then, because of that, we can hold up His Word of God, the Word of God, the Bible, and go, I can believe everything He says in here is true. I don't have to wonder if He's going to contradict Himself or He's going to do something outside of His character. Y'all, that is good news. And it's important to keep that in mind. You know, I love Jen Wilkin because she takes big stuff and puts it in real easy concepts. Here's what she says about this. She goes, the truth of God's limitless power would be absolutely terrifying were it not paired with the truth of His limitless goodness. Isn't that good? The fact that our God, His limitless power, it would be scary if it was in the hand of a God who wasn't good. There are religions out there who never know what their God believes. Because it's not a true God, number one. But they never know where they stand. They're always having to work and do something, hopefully to try to measure up or be something. We have a limitless, powerful God who in His limitless goodness has said, I have given you what you need to know in the Word of God so that you might have a right relationship with Me. And it will never change. That is good news, lady. Ladies. That is such good news. And so again, when you start to fret and doubt in a situation, and every one of us does it sometimes, isn't it good to know that when you go back to the Word of God, you don't have to wonder if what you're going to read is true. You can believe it. And you don't have to wonder if what your God says He will provide, if He actually will. Oh, it's such good news. And that leads to the even bigger question we talk about. So how is it good for us that God is omnipotent? Ladies, we are strengthened according to His might. I am going to give you, I put just a few verses on your page. It looks like a lot, but I have 3 pages. I'm not going to read them all, don't worry. But here's what I want you to hear. And the verses I'm about to highlight, I want you to see that your all-powerful God has said, with this power that is unlimited, I will strengthen you if you will ask Me to. And in what ways will I strengthen you? He'll strengthen us in how we walk with Him. He will strengthen us when we face adversity. He will strengthen us for the day. He will give us strength when we're seeking His purposes. He will give us strength to weather difficult times. He will strengthen us to be bold to declare His name. He will strengthen us physically, emotionally, spiritually, and He will strengthen us with His presence each day. So I'm going to just read some of the verses that are on your sheet, and then I'll sprinkle it with some other ones on mine that I want you to hear. I just want you to hear, every time it says He will strengthen us, I want you to remember He's strengthening you with His power. Resurrection power. Creating of the world power. Because sometimes we don't even think to ask God to strengthen us, do we? And this is what He says, I have available for you each and every day. So just hear some. Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Psalm 138:3. In the day when I cried out, You answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Psalm 27:1, it's not on your sheet, but it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's in the midst of a passage on being content, whether you have much or don't have much, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation, you can be strengthened by Christ to walk through whatever your situation is. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Psalm 22:19, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Psalm 28:7-8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. He is our place of refuge, and he strengthens us in this place of refuge. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 71:16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It is in his strength that I will go and I will declare the Lord. I may be scared to death about who I'm about to talk to, but I don't have to go in my own strength. It's in the power of a God who made the heavens and the earth. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart fail. Haven't we all been there before? In a particular situation, we feel like we can't even get ourselves off the floor. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. 2 Samuel 22:3 says, the God of my strength, in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge. He is the one who saves me from violence. 1 Chronicles 29:12, both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. When we are wondering, even in our, will I ever get a promotion? I can be confident that if God has purpose that I'm going to get whatever that is in my job or in school or whatever it is, then he, by his power, will work that. But I can rest in him. Because in Philippians 4:13, I can be content because in him I can walk through either situation in his strength. Do you see how it all works together? Isaiah 25:4, I love this. You have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Do you see what God has done, has made available to his people to be their strength in the midst of the difficult situations? Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And the last one that I'll mention, there's so many other verses. Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me to walk on high hills. Ladies, I want you to hear in this, the best news is that you have an all-powerful God that says, I will give you my strength to walk through whatever I have ordained for this day. But how many of us try to walk through the day without ever once asking the Lord to strengthen us? We may on occasion when there's something really scary or hard going on, But most days, aren't we trying just to do this walk in our own strength? And it's hard to deal with our sin in our own strength, isn't it? That old man is just fighting in there. And he wants to stay put. But I'm constantly trying to fight him in my strength, not in the power of the Lord. He has said, this is available. My almighty, all-powerful strength is available. For the next 3 minutes in at home on the video and at your tables, I just want you to think about the last week. And don't feel pressured to share something overly personal. But I want you to think about in this last week, was there an event or a day or a situation where you tried to do it just in your own strength and you walked away from a situation frustrated, tired, mad, and it never crossed your mind to even ask the Lord to strengthen you in that situation? Does that make sense? Again, to whatever extent I'm not asking you to share your deepest, darkest, but I think it's good if we can start to talk through how easy it is. And then I want you to think what we don't know, but what might it have looked like if I asked the Lord to strengthen me in that situation? So, 3 minutes. So, chit chat. Okay, ladies, we're going to come back. And so I hope this gets you guys just thinking some. I don't know what you shared at your tables, but hopefully it gets you thinking how often or how rarely I ask the Lord to strengthen me or to strengthen somebody else. I will do it if I know somebody is sick, but how often have I not asked the Lord to strengthen a friend who has a hard work situation, or to strengthen a friend who has a rough marriage, or to strengthen a friend who has a wayward child? Like, they need the strength of the Lord to walk through those. And he says, I will provide it. Ask me. Let me read this to you. Those who rely on God's strength from day to day will find in him a never-ending spring of energy. Blessed are those whose strength is you. They go from strength to strength till each appears before their God in Zion. That's from Psalm 84, 5 and 7. As God's children, we are strengthened by his grace, Hebrews 13:9. We are strengthened by time spent in prayer, Luke 18:1. We're strengthened by the promise that God will reward our efforts, Galatians 6:9. Many around us may grow weary and faint, but Isaiah 40:31 tells us, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is what our God has made available to us. Let us be women who walk in his strength. I put in here, Spurgeon had a devotional on Isaiah 40:10, and it's a little lengthy, but I wanted to make sure you have it, because Spurgeon has a way of saying things that only he can say. But the verse Isaiah 40:10 says, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So I just want to read a few things that he says in here, and then you can go back and reread it when you can sit quietly and walk through it. But it says, Spurgeon writes, God has a strong reserve with which to discharge this engagement, for he's able to do all things. And then I love this. Believer, till thou canst drain dry the ocean of omnipotence, till thou canst break into pieces the towering mountains of almighty strength, thou never needest to fear. And then if you jump down a few, it says, the same God who directs the earth in its orbit, who feeds the burning furnace of the sun and trims the lamps of heaven, he has promised to supply thee with daily strength. The same God who keeps the earth in its orbit. I said, I will give you the strength you need for the day. jump down a little bit further, and it says, shall he that created the world grow weary? He hangeth the world upon nothing. Shall he who doth this be unable to support his children? Like, think about that. This is the God who holds the world in place without anything else. Do we think he can't enter into our situation? And then look down to the second paragraph. It says, O thou who art my God and my strength, I can believe that this promise shall be fulfilled, for the boundless reservoir of thy grace can never be exhausted, and the overflowing storehouse of thy strength can never be emptied by thy friends or rifled by thine enemies. And then he quotes from an old hymn, now let the feeble all be strong, and make Jehovah's arm their song. Isn't that amazing? I mean, just to think about, this is our God. He can't fail us. His promises are sure because he has the power to fulfill them, and his character says he will do so. And in this verse alone, in Isaiah 40:10, he says, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's not telling you he'll make everything good in your eyes, but he's saying, but I will strengthen you to walk through whatever I have ordained. This is our good God. So let me ask you in our last few minutes, do you believe that God is omnipotent? Do you believe there's anything or anyone outside of his power that he can work his goodwill in their lives? Do you have loved ones or friends or family members you've written off as if God cannot save them or God cannot work in their situation? God is all powerful. He's a resurrection God. And if you believe this, do you rest and rejoice that God is omnipotent? And do you rest? I know that I still struggle to walk in my own strength, so I'm not really doing the best job of resting. That leads to that last question, do you rival God? And I think a way that we rival God is just how I gave in my own example. I rival God when I try to think that I can do what he's called me to do in my own strength. I can't. I have to have his strength. I have limited power. And he's made me that way. But he has said, in your limited power, I am giving you access to limitless power to do whatever it is I've called you to do. So be strengthened in me. And so one question I've been asking myself in my rivaling, do I have situations in my own life where I'm trying to carry the weight of the situation in my own strength? Am I trying to orchestrate everything in a particular situation so I can make sure it works out and that I can be in control of it and that I can make things happen in my own power and strength? If you have any of those kind of situations, then it's a good reminder you're probably rivaling the Lord and you're not resting in him. I know for me this lesson, it was Windows. I'm like, this is actually the easiest one, Lord. We all believe it. There's no crazy impassibility or, you know, infinite and all this kind of stuff that it gets hard to explain. But then I thought, but this is the one that I probably least rely on. Is that I do need God's strength every day. And not just a physical strength, a strength in my spirit, a strength in my emotional health, strength in just how to go through the day when there are exhausting days and hard days or to face a particular situation. And so the good news again, God, is that I've made myself available. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. And then I will strengthen you by my outstretched right hand. As we finish, believe it or not, we're going to finish on time. Because I normally go late. John Piper, I'm going to read this. This is kind of long, but it was one of those things I read. I put the last part on your page, so there's more before you get there. John Piper, he wrote, or actually had a sermon called My Name is God Almighty. And I would encourage you to look it up online. It's My God is Almighty. Excuse me, my name is God Almighty. But in it, he gives this great example from one of the Olympics. So this has been a few Olympics ago, so I don't know which one it is. But he starts off and he goes, during the Summer Olympics, one of the camera maneuvers taught me something about the greatness of God. He said, the opening and closing ceremonies were thrilling to most of the people who saw them. The sheer magnitude of the crowds and fireworks and music were a once-in-a-lifetime experience of bigness and grandeur. Those of us who watched on television could feel some of the thrill when the camera was high enough to take in the whole great sweep of the Colosseum. So, you know, it's the camera that's going around and showing it all. And then he said, something strange happened. The camera continued to recede into the sky, where it was perched in a helicopter. And so then the Colosseum kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller as the helicopter went further and further up. He said, until it looked like just a tiny blurry dot. So I don't know how they do that. I don't think the helicopter went that far up. But, you know, it kept pulling out and pulling out until the Colosseum, which seemed so big and grander, was just this blurry dot. And so he goes on and he writes, as I watched that happen, he goes, I was filled with joy in the greatness of God. And I said to myself, look how thrilled we are with a Colosseum full of color and sound. Look how we stand in wonder. Look how we shout and clap and feel excitement at the splendor of it all. He goes, but look again from God's perspective. Compared to his power and splendor, it is but a blurry dot on the ground. And then this is my favorite part. He says, but God puts on a minor display of his strength and splendor every morning as he brings the sun up over the horizon. 865,000 miles thick, 1.3 million times heavier than the earth, blazing on its cool edges at 1 million degrees centigrade. Every morning, God has his opening ceremonies to thrill us with his power and glory and to fill us with hope that one day we will enter a land where all the wonders that have inspired us on this little earth, they will be like a tiny blurry dot in comparison with the magnificence of God's eternal closing ceremonies. And he goes, every night God puts out a little puppet show of his majesty in the sky with Perseus, Andromeda, Hercules and Orion, and Leo the lion and Draco the dragon sporting about in the local galaxy 100,000 light years across. And then this is what I put on your sheet. It says, day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. And what they teach so forcefully is that God is infinite in power. Nothing that has ever awed you can compare to him. He is God Almighty. Nothing can stay his hand. He does whatever he pleases. He is the potter, and the universe is his clay. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when you guys leave here, I want you to be reminded that this is the power of your God. The same God who said, I'm in an intimate relationship with you. I know the hard things you walk through. I know through the hard things that I've ordained in your life. I know the struggles that you have. But I want you to know, as your God, I'm here to strengthen you, to walk victoriously in it. So ask me to strengthen you. Depend on my strength, not your own, because yours is inadequate for what lays ahead, but mine is not. So rest in me. look to me, trust me to work in you each day and to give you the strength for whatever the day may bring. Isn't that a sweet God that we have? A God so mighty in power, and yet he says to his finite creatures, rest in me. Let me work in you this day. So, any thoughts or comments before I close this in prayer? And let us out a whole 1 minute early. So, well, I hope you are encouraged. Go back and read these. I will send you guys the notes. There's a bazillion more verses on the strength of God that I didn't read. But I just want you to constantly be thinking, this powerful God has made himself available for me for each day. So let's go to him and ask him to give us wisdom and to give us the strength for what he's ordained for us. Let's pray. God, you are a most good Father. And God, you are all powerful, almighty, and we declare our words are even feel limiting in even what we're saying. You're so much more. And God, it is mind-boggling to think that you, the great God of eternity, has not only brought us to salvation with you, you've resurrected us from our deadness into life, and you have prepared an eternity for us with you. But God, you've also said in this lifetime, here on this earth, as we walk it with all the trials that may come, you have said you will give us the strength to face each day. So help us to be people who look to you and take you up on your offer. And God, help us to not rival you and to try to do things in our own strength, but help us to live in yours. And so, God, we ask that as we each go our separate way, and we each have things that we will face tonight when we get home, tomorrow as we begin our new journey, God, would you help each one of us to have the very first thing we do is to ask for your strength for the day, that we might sense a difference as we walk through this life, if we do it with you. And so we pray all this, and we ask all this in your most precious Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.